Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is Alan Sliwa, host of the Lakers pre- and post-game, Lakers Talk and the Sliwa Show. I'm here with Brad Wallace, one of the top personal injury trial lawyers in the game. Brad, tell our listeners why they need to call the Wallace Firm when they get hurt.
Alan, I'll put my courtroom record up against any other lawyer on the radio. We focus on getting our clients top results. You won't see my face on billboards and won't hear me play an annoying jingle. If you get injured, you need a real trial lawyer, not a marketing guy.
Call the Wallace Firm now, 844-844-WINS, or visit WallaceWins.com today.
710 ESPN. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
Really good weekend for us. You know, playing against two of the best teams.
And the Lakers beat the team with the best record in the NBA. Lakers 113. Bucks 103.
Your city. Your station. Your Lakers.
No matter what was going on throughout the course of the game, we just held our composure. We continued to get stops. We continued to execute. And I think the best thing that came out of both games is we didn't have high turnover games.
Here's LeBron down the middle, all the way, lay it up and in, plus a foul. LeBron taking over.
Lakers talk is on. Here's Alan Sliwa.
I mean, why even play the rest of the regular season?
There's no point.
That's it. 2-0 against the Bucks and the Clippers over the weekend. What a fantastic weekend for Los Angeles Lakers basketball. How good do you feel out there to be a Lakers fan? The only question that was left being a Lakers fan this regular season was, okay, you know what? You've beat up on a lot of bad teams. You know what? You've actually gone on the road. You won 18 games on the road against Western Conference teams at Denver, at Portland a couple times. Took care of business against teams like the Mavs, the Houston Rockets. The only question left on the Los Angeles Lakers resume, there was only one. And that question was, there's two teams that it's probably impossible for you to win an NBA championship without beating these two squads, and that was the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Clippers, and you got them both in a weekend. How great was that walking into the weekend knowing that that competition, those opponents were right there in front of you? Any wrongs that you had so far in the season, what if you got some big-time W's? Not in October, not in November, not in December, but how about in March, where now you pretty much got your roster? This is what I thought walking into these two games. These are the scenarios that I played out in my mind. If the Milwaukee Bucks were going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers on Friday, the championship is walking through the Milwaukee Bucks. That if you want to win a chip this year, you got to go through the Milwaukee Bucks. That's the team to beat in the NBA. Okay, Lakers took care of the Bucks. If the Clippers were to beat the Los Angeles Lakers on another nationally televised games where the Lakers are healthy, where the Clippers are healthy, then that means the championship was going to walk through the Los Angeles Clippers on that Sunday afternoon. But instead, this is what happened. Lakers handled the Bucks. Lakers handled the Clippers. 9-point win yesterday at Staples Center. Someone tried to explain to me how the team to beat, how the NBA championship doesn't run through the Los Angeles Lakers right now. Of course it runs through the Los Angeles Lakers. Of course that's the team to beat in the league. And of course, everybody kind of had their opinion on the regular season, and these are not statement games. It's not that big of a deal if you won these two games. I obviously didn't feel that way. Michael Thompson, you know very well, him and I do the pregame show together. You know how he felt about these two games. MT actually picked the Clippers to win yesterday's game, and this is in the reality of the situation was he wanted to see, listen, let me see the Lakers beat the Clippers before I start making predictions that the Lakers can beat the Clippers. And what happened yesterday? LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Avery Bradley comes out huge yesterday. Rondo, who's been getting slammed in that third quarter, 5 minutes left to go or so, was so big in setting up KCP and Avery Bradley and Anthony Davis and Markieff Morris. Kuzma with 10 rebounds, two block shots. Forget about the points. Who cares about the points? Kuzma was doing something on the court that had nothing to do with scoring. We had an opportunity to look at Kuzma's game and analyze him more than just from an offensive perspective. And then Lakers come out and they beat the Los Angeles Clippers. The chip is running through the Lakers. you know, people can come out right now. I looked at a power rankings. Oh, God bless everybody. Tell me how there's a ESPN power rankings right now. Still had the Bucks at number one. What am I missing here? What am I missing here? Work with me, people. Tell me how the championship isn't running through the Lakers right now. Tell me how every team in the NBA right now is saying, yeah, it's the Lakers to lose. I'm not saying we were crowned as championships for winning that game yesterday or winning the game on Friday, but you cannot make a bigger statement in the league. You cannot make a bigger statement around the NBA like the Lakers made this past weekend. You can't. You honestly can't. It doesn't get any bigger what the Lakers did. It doesn't get any bigger than those performances by big-time players obviously coming through for the Los Angeles Lakers. This is a question I have for Laker fans out there. Man, Mason Ireland killed me, by the way. That's it. They're just – every crosstalk is just – I got to just take punches from Mason and Ireland. Here's my question for Laker fans out there. After seeing the Lakers beat the Bucks and after seeing the Lakers beat the Clippers, is the 2019-2020 NBA championship 100% run through the Lakers? Is this the Lakers' championship to lose? 877-710-ESPN. You don't have to agree with me. You can call in and say, Al, relax. It was two regular season games in March. That's not going to mean that much, you know, the rest of the way. But the way I look at things is these games like this are barometers. Where is your team right now? And what I see from the Los Angeles Lakers is that's the team to beat. 877-710-ESPN. Be a part of the show. We want to take your phone calls tonight. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN.
This is Alan Sliwa, host of the Lakers pre- and post-game, Lakers Talk and the Sliwa Show. I'm here with Brad Wallace, one of the top personal injury trial lawyers in the game. Brad, tell our listeners why they need to call the Wallace Firm when they get hurt.
Alan, I'll put my courtroom record up against any other lawyer on the radio. We focus on getting our clients top results. You won't see my face on billboards and won't hear me play an annoying jingle. If you get injured, you need a real trial lawyer, not a marketing guy.
Call the Wallace Firm now, 844-844-WINS, or visit WallaceWins.com today.
I wonder how they're going to do it this year. So are we going down Figueroa? How are they going to organize the parade? Is it just down Fig, and then we got to figure out, I think from there, yeah, you got to kind of weave down towards the Coliseum. And then, should I give out times of what time? We should just pick a date. Let's pick a date for the parade. All right, I know I got to relax, all right? I know I got to relax. Got a little excited. You guys saw what happened this past weekend. How good did it feel to get a win specifically against the Clippers? The game against the Bucks, I expected the Lakers were going to take that game. I think a lot of people, I got a lot of respect towards the Milwaukee Bucks. They've been amazing. Of course, we want them to lose every game now because we're that close to potentially surpassing or tying the Bucks. Bucks, by the way, I mentioned this to Mason and Ireland. I know Ireland mentioned it during the show as well. If you look at the NBA standings right now, first of all, if you just look at the schedule for the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis isn't playing tonight against the at Denver. He's not playing against Denver. And let me also say this: I hope the guy's healthy, and I hope he comes back as soon as possible. You would never want to see any of these guys with injuries. But Milwaukee's sitting at 53-11. Lakers are sitting at 49-13. So if you look at the league right now, Milwaukee's got a 3-game advantage, but just a 2-game advantage on the loss column. Let's say Bucks lose tonight to the Denver Nuggets, which can very well happen. At Denver, no Giannis. Let's say Lakers beat Brooklyn tomorrow at Staples Center. Of course, it should happen. Now, all of a sudden, that lead is just 2 games, and you're 1 game out of the loss column. I don't know about you guys, but I want to see the Los Angeles Lakers start in the NBA Finals. You know, get through the Clippers, and of course, that's going to be a battle. We know the Clippers will make their adjustments as you go through, but I think there's something to play for against the kind of the rest of the season where we didn't feel like, you know, you could catch the Milwaukee Bucks, but they've lost 3 or 4 games and the Lakers keep rolling. They've won, I think, 11 of 12 now. Handle the Bucks, handle the Clippers. I think an NBA championship right now 100% runs through the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't want power rankings out there. Tell me how someone in their right mind can have power rankings out there. where the Lakers are not number one. And by the way, there are power rankings out there where the Lakers aren't number one. What more do you want this team to do in the regular season? All right, if you agree with me, disagree, it's all good, doesn't matter. I want to get your opinions. I want to get your thoughts. Do these statement games over the weekend versus the Bucks and the Clippers means that an NBA championship is 100% running through the Los Angeles Lakers, that's the team to beat in the NBA right now. And if you don't think that, it's perfectly fine as well. We're going to have a little bit of an argument here. Joshua in L.A., appreciate you calling in, buddy. You're on Lakers Talk.
Fleetwood, man, first of all, I love it. After dark, I listen to you every day, man. All I'm saying is that the fine-tuning that we need to do is the fact that we need to keep our foot on their necks. You know, we already have them on the rest of the league on the back of their heels, man. We have everyone afraid, as we should, but we still have some fine-tuning to do.
I don't disagree with that, Joshua. There's definitely things that the Lakers can do to, play better basketball. But just walking away from the weekend, you got to feel, if you're the Clippers right now, you got to have a little bit of doubt. If you're the Bucks, you got to have a little bit of doubt.
There's tons of doubt. Mm-hmm. There's tons of doubt. But at the end of the day, you know, they're going to make the adjustments as well, as I feel like we need to do the same thing. And yes, I absolutely agree with you. Championship definitely runs through us. We're the Mecca. We're the greatest franchise of all times.
Joshua, quick question. Should we do it on a Saturday, like a weekday or a weekend for the parade?
Let's do it on the weekend, man. Let's all enjoy the weekend, brother.
I appreciate you calling in. All right. Getting a little excited here, guys. You know, you win a couple games, all of a sudden my chest is out and I feel like it's over. Why even play the rest of the season? All right, let's take some more calls here. Brian in Mid City. Brian, you're on Lakers Talk. Thanks for calling in, Brian.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you so much for having me on your air.
Appreciate it, man. Go ahead.
So yeah, it runs through, but again, longtime Laker fan, we can't have no false. This can't be false gold. We got to follow through. We got to stay healthy. Health is a very important issue. Definitely, we got to stay healthy and. You know, it definitely goes through. Definitely. It's a long time coming. It's about time.
Brian, I got a question. So I think there's something interesting developing here, because if you'd have asked me, let's say, a week ago, week and a half ago, I didn't think the Lakers had any shot at the best record in the NBA, right? Like that was far enough where the Bucks had a big enough advantage. You think the Lakers should go for that? I mean, I'm telling you, they could be one game out by the end of tomorrow's game against Brooklyn. They could be a game out of best record in the NBA. You think that's something that the Lakers should play for the rest of the way?
No, I wouldn't be worried about regular season, this and that. It's all about staying healthy, being smart. They're on the East Coast. We're on the West. So, just play it smart. You know, handle your business, man. This isn't something that we're new to here in L.A. We're used to winning chips. So let's do it. And like I told you, we need to win the next two championships in a row, and then we can talk about a lot of other things.
Well, I'll go with let's go with this first one. I'm gonna stay right here for right now. I got 2020 is by the way, let me say this. That game against the Clippers yesterday, it was a good game. It was obviously great to get the W, but one of the things that stood out to me, and a little bit later I'll kind of talk about this. How big of a signing was Markieff Morris by Rob Pelinka and the Los Angeles Lakers? How big was that? Think about how many, and I'm talking about specifically against the Clippers, and probably helped. Somebody pointed out on Twitter earlier today. Maybe it was Twitter, maybe it was YouTube, I can't remember. But somebody pointed it out too, that signing will also be big against the Houston Rockets. You know, Rockets obviously like to go small. Little things like that can be the difference of winning an NBA championship or not. Just small moves like that. Clippers wanted to go small with Montrezl Harrell yesterday. You didn't have to put AD on him. You didn't have to have Dwight Howard on him. Why don't you go Markieff Morris on him? Let AD go guard Kawhi Leonard. I mean, just a small move like that, just to have that flexibility from or for the coach, I wanted to highlight that. And we'll get into that just kind of as the show progresses and everything. Okay. Let me keep taking some calls here, and the question I'm going to continue to propose is does everything now run through the Los Angeles Lakers? Where the argument easily could have been before the weekend, well, you haven't beat the Bucks. Well, the Clippers are 2-0 against you. Is that far enough removed now where you're saying in your mind, well, we just handled both of those teams? What more can you possibly want from a regular season resume? What more can you ask for? I don't think there's anything left from the regular season perspective that we haven't seen from the Lakers. Now, number one in the NBA is there. I mean, you have a legitimate shot, I think, to go get it. And I think the Lakers should go work for it, because a seven-game set against the Bucks could come down to a home-court advantage. More of you guys' phone calls coming next. Appreciate it. Look right now, if you guys can see my screen. You know what the screen has right now? Phone lines just absolutely lit up. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's Lakers talk. We're in L.A. 877-710-ESPN if you guys want to be a part of the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is Lakers talk on 710 ESPN. All right, let me get the calendar up here real quick. Just a second, Funches. Tell the people to just hold on for a second. Maybe June 24th, 25th. Is that when we should do the parade?
You think they're going to have the same route that they always had, like during Fig and all that stuff?
June 25th is a Thursday.
Yeah.
I figure if you start kind of getting the word out now, just about street
closures. When are the finals? Do you know when the finals are?
I haven't. Why would I even look? Like, there's no reason to even look any further. I'm a little surprised.
You have to know when the finals are, because that's your, after the finals is your vacation, basically.
Here's the thing. I'm going to let other people worry about the basketball. I feel like now I should get in touch with the mayor and get in touch with everybody else to just figure out how we're going to do this. There's a lot of coordination that goes into this. I just want to make sure the city's prepared. That's all I'm saying. All right. Yeah, definitely overreacting just a little bit. Just a little bit. Now, if they would have lost to the Clippers, all hell would have broke loose on Lakers talk today. It was a good weekend. You know, I have a little bit of an issue. One of my issues is this. So when you sit in the media area, you're technically not supposed to cheer, right? Technically, you're supposed to be a professional. That's what you're supposed to be. There's times I can't lie. Funches, I'm just kind of sitting around in my head. I'm like, I don't know what to do when Anthony Davis hits a three, Lakers go up six, and he pumps his fist in the crowd. You want me to not pump my fist? Of course I'm going to pump my fist.
Can you just turn around and just pump your fist real quick while not doing it in front of everyone?
Well, yesterday was a little... yesterday was different. Yesterday was different because...
This was a Clipper game, right?
It was a Clippers home game.
Did you have to sit in a hockey press box like everyone else does?
No, because there's no way I'm going to go up there. I'm very strategic with how I do things. So I'm basically behind Ireland and MT without a seat.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have a seat, but I'm like, all right, I'm not going to go into the press room, and I'm not going to go up to the nosebleeds or whatever the case is. And I do these hits. I do a hit at the end of the first quarter. I have to do halftime. I got to see the game.
Exactly.
I did come back here for halftime, but, I'm standing up and let's just say...
Were you walking around with Jay-Z?
Chains? No, I'm definitely up in the, different section. But let me just say that, it's impossible... As a fan of the team and as somebody that I think a lot of the reason why I'm sitting in the seat now is I'm passionate about the Lakers, right? So it's impossible to watch a game and not get excited in that big of a game. So I think what I'm trying to say is there are times I might look a little unprofessional. That might have happened
Well,
Friday.
I'm sure you're not the only one in that section looking unprofessional.
That might have happened Friday, that might have happened Sunday, and that might happen a lot during the playoffs. All right, live with it. What else are we going to do? Let's get some more calls here. Paul calling on the 10 freeway. Paul, appreciate you calling in. This is Lakers Talk, buddy.
Hey, Alan, love the show, my man.
Thank you.
So I'm a native New Yorker living in Los Angeles, so I don't really have much to talk about when it comes to championships. But what I will say is that the road right now does not go through L.A., unfortunately.
Where does it go through?
After this week, it still goes through Milwaukee. Mm. They are the one seed. All roads will go through there. Now, again, after this weekend, the Lakers may take that one seed, and then for sure, all roads will go through L.A. But until that happens, it's still Milwaukee's road, and it's still Toronto's championship.
So, Paul, I guess technically, right? Like, technically, you're right. I guess the question I'd have for you is... Seven game set between the Bucks and the Lakers after this weekend. And listen, it was the Lakers' home game. They're supposed to win that game. I think the bigger surprise would have been if the Bucks came to L.A. and beat up on the Lakers, just using that as an example. But in a seven-game set, do you feel different after this weekend than you did before the weekend?
I do. I am more of a Laker believer. Not that I wasn't before, but they really obviously showed us stuff this weekend. But my whole thing is, we know what AED and LeBron are going to do in a playoff series. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about the others, the Avery Bradleys like he did the other day, the Kuzmas, everybody else stepping up. These guys, as you know, step up when they're at home. That's why I really, really do think the Lakers need to go for this one seed, because they're going to need some extra bench guys to step up to help out LeBron and AD. And if they don't, I don't know if the Lakers can win it.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I appreciate you calling in. Here's the thing. If you're not a diehard Laker fan like I am, or a lot of other callers that call in, that's okay. You can still call into the show. I don't mind getting another perspective. But this is what I'll say about, we know what we're going to get from LeBron and AD. The AD part, I still want to see. You know, I think this weekend what we saw from AD, you guys see AD 25 points in the second half after he had foul trouble against the Milwaukee Bucks. Dominated in that second half. And then we saw him against the Clippers yesterday, put up another, 30 points yesterday, something along those lines, right? The one thing with Anthony Davis is we actually have never seen AD do it in a Western Conference final. We've never seen Anthony Davis do it in a big-time game outside of New Orleans. This is different in L.A. Everybody knows it's different in L.A. Spotlight's going to be different. The pressure's going to be different. The media's going to be different. The expectations are completely different. Now, I got a lot of confidence in Anthony Davis, but I've been saying this and I'll continue to say it. AD is going to have to play the best basketball of his life come playoff time to go win an NBA championship. He's going to. I mean, that's how big AD is. I'm watching yesterday, Lakers-Clippers. I think I tweeted this out. How does anyone stop AD on the Clippers? Tell me who's supposed to stop Anthony Davis on the Clippers. There was one possession in that third quarter where the tide kind of churned. Maybe 5-6 minutes left. LeBron went to the bench, and the Lakers actually started outscoring the Clippers. A lot of that had to do with Rondo setting the table up, but AD's got the ball on the block. Who's guarding him? Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi is, what is he, top three in the NBA? Top four? Top two? Wherever you want to put Kawhi. How is Kawhi Leonard going to stop Anthony Davis? There's about 4 inches of a difference. Montrezl Harrell. You're going to tell me Montrezl Harrell is going to stop AD? I don't think he is. That's my opinion. My opinion is Anthony Davis will have to take his game to another level. Now, the Lakers role players did step up yesterday. Specifically, Avery Bradley had a game, and I don't even care about talking about his offense. How about his defense? By the way, Brad Turner from the LA Times, he's going to hop on a little bit later in the show. He had a great article in the LA Times talking about Avery Bradley kind of being prepped and prepared for this position. And Avery Bradley's not going to do that every game, but there were obviously a number of different players that that stepped up. All right, more of you guys' calls. Talking too much here, guys. My apologies. JP, Pico Rivera, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Alan. I think that the championship does run through the Lakers, and the reason is belief. All year the narrative has been, you know, early, who have they played? Then they had those two back-to-back games at Denver and Utah, and they did that. But they were still 0-3 against the Bucks and the Clippers. And me, as a diehard Laker fan, I wanted to see it. I needed to believe. And I think the belief is there now. We've seen them beat them back-to-back. I think it gave LeBron a belief that I can win this chip with this team. I think it gave Anthony Davis a belief that this can be my year that I win my first chip. And also, Frank Vogel, man, he believes in himself that he can out-coach Doc Rivers, you know, when he went and he switched around his lineup, and it gave us an advantage, and I think that he had to see it for himself, and you know, it gave me belief that we can do it this year now. So I think
JP, you're giving me some belief here. Excuse me there. Hey, I appreciate you calling in. I think those are great points. 877-710 ESPN if you want to be a part of Lakers Talk. And we'll kind of continue this conversation about the Lakers. This is the one thing I will say about head coach Frank Vogel. Before I do that, quick thank you and a quick shout out to Sincoro Tequila. Celebrate friends and family with the world's finest tequila. Ultra premium, small batch, Sincoro Tequila. There are good tequilas. There are great tequilas. And then there's Sincoro Tequila, now available on drizzly.com, D-R-I-Z-L-Y.com, and reservebar.com for convenient at-home delivery. Sincoro Tequila, official sponsor of the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm sure there was a lot of Sincoro Tequila being taken down yesterday. You know, good win over the Clippers, some celebration there. Coach deserves a ton of credit. Why wouldn't he? Can I point this out to Laker fans out there? This is a sign of a good coach and a sign of really good players. All right? First half against the Milwaukee Bucks, it's tied at halftime. Lakers come out in that third quarter and they outscore Milwaukee. I can't remember if it was 8 points or 10 points. It was right around there. So obviously adjustments made by the Lakers. Big third quarter for the Lakers. Yesterday, halftime, Lakers down 4. Lakers come back to start the fourth quarter. They're up 4. So they outscore the Los Angeles Clippers by 8 points in that third quarter. That's a great sign. That means you made the proper adjustments. That means that team, whatever advantage that they had in the first 24 minutes of the game, your squad, your players, your coaching staff, you made the proper adjustments to, you know, obviously get things back on track or take advantage of something that you didn't notice in the first 24 minutes. Yes, coach should get a lot of credit. Look, when you beat the Bucks and the Clippers, a lot of people are going to get credit. Sometimes maybe the coach has forgotten a little bit because you're looking at individual players. Jordan and Brea, what do you think, Jordan? You think the chip right now runs through the Los Angeles Lakers, or these are just regular season games? I got to slow my roll down a little bit.
Well, first off, I love you guys' show. I love everything you guys talk about.
Appreciate it.
But after that, I think it does. And I'll give you a few points. The first time we saw the Clippers and the Bucks, I don't think LeBron was playing to his full capacity. Now we're seeing LeBron mode. Now we're seeing the best player in the world. And when he's at his best, nobody can stop him. Nobody in the world.
You know what he's doing too, Jordan? He's getting to the line. He's taking the ball to the basket. He had, I think, 14 free throws yesterday, 15 free throws against the Bucks. There's no answer for him. And I think, you know, that game against the Clippers on Christmas, settled for jumpers. Maybe he had that sore groin. We saw that he got hit by Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
But these last, I think this weekend he made it a point. I'm getting to the rim. Nobody's stopping me. And the only thing you could do is send me to the free throw line. And he hit, I think, 12 of 15 and 12 of 14 from the free throw line, something along those lines.
Yeah, exactly. And then you pair him with another top five player in the world, and it just makes it unstoppable to stop their offense. And then going into that second best player in the, I mean, the top five player in the world, Anthony Davis. I think he's feeding off LeBron's energy. He wants to perform as high as LeBron. And I think that's something that we've really never seen as much as we've seen now, as Anthony Davis is feeding off LeBron. I think that's going to continue in the playoffs. I know he hasn't had the experience. No, he hasn't gone to the Western Conference Finals.
That's okay.
But he's at
a stage, Jordan, of his career where, like, this is his time. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And being around all the veteran presence that he has on his team, and LeBron, who's been to, you know, countless amount of finals and have that playoff experience, he's gonna be able to put him under his arm and, you know, really guide him into where he makes him feel like he's already been in championship. So I think he's gonna be ready for the playoffs.
Jordan, how do you want to do this? Should we carpool? How do you want to do this for the June date? I mean, you just let me know, and then I could pick you up, and we'll figure this out.
Hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to go whenever you are.
All right, you just look. You bring the booze and bring some snacks, and I got the transportation. I'm picking everybody up in L.A. All right, let's squeeze in one more call here. Sid in Irvine. Sid, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, buddy.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it, man.
Hey, so I just wanted to tell everybody, you know, what I'm seeing now is I think because we were so spoiled by the Kobe era, you know, God rest his soul. I miss him. But he established such a business-like attitude with this team for all those years, and now we're finally starting to see that semblance of team, kind of that same team building where we see, you know, we take care of these teams. They might be the best, you know, everyone's talking about them right now, the Bucks, the Clippers, but we just go into the arena and we just take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a little bit about it afterwards, you know, have some chit-chat. But the next day, it's on to the next one. I just love this attitude. And it's from the everybody. I mean, it's from Rob Pelinka. It's from Frank Vogel.
It's true.
I mean, I just see LeBron. I see even a little bit of LeBron having that Kobe mentality. I mean, that might be shocking for some people to hear, but he put his foot on their throat last night. You know, I think there was like 40 seconds left, and he made that amazing layup at the end.
Yep.
I mean, that's something Kobe would have approved of, and I know that, you know, it's amazing to watch, finally to see that kind of level. And I think a lot of Laker fans have never seen that kind of playoff LeBron, you know, up close. But I think we saw a little glimpse of it last night.
Well, Sid, and I appreciate you calling into the show. I think there's some to that. You know, what I would say is that, listen, I'm sure these players understand what's in front of them. I said this maybe a couple months ago. Dwight Howard, remember when last time he was in the NBA Finals? Last time he had a legitimate chance to win an NBA championship. Do you know how long ago that was? That was 2009. Rondo, another legitimate chance to win an NBA championship. That was 2010. Keep going down that list. Avery Bradley tasting an opportunity for a championship. Anthony Davis has never been past the second round. JaVale McGee's got a chip back with the Golden State Warriors. I can keep going down the roster of players that understand how unique of an opportunity they have right now in front of them. I said this a little bit earlier. Last week, Dion Waiters. What an opportunity for Dion Waiters to hop on a basketball team that not only is going to give him an opportunity, a spotlight of an opportunity, Lakers need a player like that, but how about a chance to win an NBA championship? How about that chance? That's what makes this, you know, when you say they got an all-business approach right now, I think you're onto something there. But I think there's enough veterans on this team that realize you don't get shots like this every single year. You don't. You might go 10 years in the league before you got another shot at an NBA championship. All right, this is what I want to do when we come back. Of course, your guys' phone calls. I want to talk about the Lakers role players over the weekend. I want to talk about Kyle Kuzma. How much time have we spent on Kyle Kuzma and me emphasizing how he's got to find other ways to do things other than just score the basketball? How much did he, I don't want to say he shut people up, but how great was him to see him in that role yesterday doing other things? Rondo, how big was he in the third quarter? KCP, arguably the most consistent role player this season. Markieff Morris, the ability to guard anybody. We're going to talk about all the Lakers role players when we come back. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Brandon in Whittier, you're on Lakers Talk, buddy. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, so I just wanted to say, Lakers are in first place. We have a cushion.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I wanted to mention was that we should maybe consider tweaking the starting lineup, putting Kyle Kuzma in the starting lineup, taking Danny Green, adding him to the second unit. I think Kyle Kuzma's defense with that starting unit won't be such a liability, while Danny Green playing off ball with Rondo could help him maybe get a rhythm with his three-point shot.
So I don't think, Brandon, I don't think they're going to do anything like that. I really don't. I think they feel good with the starting lineup they have. And by the way, you know, Danny Green had 0 points yesterday, so it's not like, you know, Danny Green is a consistent killing it, even though I think come playoff time he'll be fine. But I just don't see them making those types of changes this time of the year. And here's another thing. Kyle Kuzma, you know, you guys obviously heard I want to talk about Kuz a little bit and all the role players coming into this segment. And I appreciate you calling in, Brandon. Kuz also hasn't been consistent this year as well. But let me tell you what I loved about Kyle Kuzma yesterday. My favorite thing about Kuz yesterday was, I think I was mentioning this in the postgame show. Last time Kuzma played the Clippers, he had 25 points. And I would almost take his stat line from yesterday over than what he did on Christmas with 25 points. He had 8 points yesterday, struggled from the field. He didn't shoot, you know, all that well. But he had 10 rebounds, 2 block shots. I thought important defensive possessions. I thought at times was matched up against Kawhi or PG or Montrezl Harrell. And I thought he played okay defense.
And I want to say he took a couple charges, too, that were,
took
you
a
know,
couple charges.
Really important one, at that time of the game.
One against Montrezl Harrell. I thought he played pretty good, right? And this is my take always on Kyle Kuzma. I know we have kind of labeled him as a scorer in the league. if he's just a scorer in the league as a 6'9", 6'10" athletic wing in today's NBA, we got a problem. He's too skilled of a player to just be a scorer. Scoring's going to come and go, but you can't just rely on scoring. And when you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, there are many games where you don't need scoring. You know what you need? You need somebody that has a role and can do other things other than just scoring. Yesterday, Kuzma wasn't hurting himself or wasn't hurting the team by being in the game because he was doing a lot of small things. Two block shots from Kuz, that's a good day at the office. 10 rebounds from Kyle Kuzma, that's a great day in the office. Taking a couple charges like Funches just mentioned, yeah, what more can you ask for from Kyle Kuzma in that big of a game? This is how, if there's an evolution to Kuzma, hopefully between now and the playoffs starting and when the playoffs start, he understands ways to be effective in a game without just scoring. I know Anthony Davis is different. I know AD is just a completely different animal, but I just use AD as an example because AD had a game maybe last week where he went 6-21 from the field. People are like, AD's just not hitting any buckets and he's got to do more. Awesome. AD is going to have another game where he shoots 60% from the field. But you know what AD did in that game where he went 6-21? AD still ended up with 14 rebounds and 6 block shots. That's how you affect a game, especially when your shot's not falling. Mike in LA, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Adam? So
Alan.
Yesterday,
Alan, just Alan.
Like
just Alan.
Alan, yeah. Sorry about that. So just like all of Laker Nation, I was super hyped about this incredible weekend and the work that our team put in and our success. And I couldn't wait to wake up this morning and listen to the national media and kind of hear their take on how the Lakers have evolved as a team and how they placed among the other teams. And all I could really hear was the connotation of, yeah, the Lakers won, but they had to have a career night from Avery Bradley. And how often is that going to happen? Or how often is Lou Will going to have the type of game that he had? Or how often is Marcus Morris going to have a donut? So I just don't appreciate the disrespect that the national media is putting towards our role players, like
Mike,
a bunch of
that's
scrubs.
Why you listen to Lakers Talk. I mean, how many times do we have to have this conversation? No, I'm kidding with you.
I just want to point out one other thing that I don't think it was, of course, Avery Bradley had a huge input into our success last night, particularly. However, I think it was our team defense.
Oh, no question about it was the defense.
That won us that game, not necessarily Avery Bradley.
No, listen, and Avery Bradley, by the way, was playing solid defense. Mike, appreciate you calling. Let me say this. Let me say, first of all, from a national perspective, you know, they're not going to – maybe they're not watching the games as often as we are. Actually, not maybe. They're not, because their focus is on more of a national platform. A platform like this, we are watching and listening to every Lakers game. We can highlight that Avery Bradley last night was fantastic, but Avery Bradley's been – pretty good all season on the defensive side. What you don't know what you're going to get from Avery Bradley is if he's going to put up 24 points, 26 points, whatever he had yesterday. But sometimes it's going to be KCP. Another night it might be Caruso. Another night it might be Kyle Kuzma. I think between JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, they played such a scarce amount of minutes. And that was because Markieff Morris was in the game often. By the way, let me say this about Markieff. That's a game changer on this team. You guys understand something? I want to make sure I emphasize this. Markieff Morris on the Los Angeles Lakers is a game changer on this roster, specifically against the Clippers. You might think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, having a player of that size that's not going to get pushed around, that's okay to take an elbow and throw an elbow right back specifically to the Los Angeles Clippers, that's a game changer for this Los Angeles Lakers team. It really is. The fact that he had the ability yesterday to guard, who do you want him to guard? You want him to guard Marcus Morris? Cool. You want him to guard Montrezl Harrell? Sounds good. You want him to switch and have to guard, Kawhi Leonard or Paul George just because screens are being set everywhere? He gives the Lakers such an incredible amount of flexibility. That was big time yesterday. Actually, let's take away yesterday. That was big time at the buyout market for Rob Pelinka, the general manager, president of the Los Angeles Lakers, and the rest of the front office to figure out how to get a player like Markieff Morris on this team. I cannot emphasize how big that's going to be down the road. It's already big. It's already paying its way. And I'm not talking about the offensive side. Offensive side, it comes, it goes. But to match up on the defensive side against the Los Angeles Clippers, I mean, coach just has so many different options. I think we're going to be all right the rest of the way. I think the NBA and every team out there in the NBA is running through the Los Angeles Lakers. I genuinely feel that way. And if you watch the games and if all those other national hosts want to make excuses and say, well, Lou Williams had a bad game. Okay, Lou Williams have a better game. If they want to say, well, Marcus Morris missed a lot of threes, so that's the Lakers' fault that he missed that many threes. It's Avery Bradley's fault that he was hitting jumpers yesterday. I hate the excuses because when the Lakers lose a game, I don't know if I hear as many excuses. But when they win a big-time game, all of a sudden excuses come pouring in. Don't worry about that. Tune in right here, local, Lakers talk. Brad Turner from the LA Times, he's got a great article right now, great story about Avery Bradley and what he does and what he's been doing with some of the other role players after games and after practices. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the Lakers matchup also the rest of the way and that win against the Clippers. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got Brad Turner from the LA Times hopping on. BT, thanks for taking some time and kind of reacting to this pretty remarkable weekend from the Los Angeles Lakers. Take care of the Bucks on Friday, obviously yesterday against the Clippers. Thanks for taking some time.
Adam, my pleasure. For you, man, anything.
You know, I figure we got to do it this way because, you know, when I bring you on with MT, and, you know, Michael spends so much time talking about personal things, you don't get any time to really react.
And not only that, he never brings any wine with him. He's always bragging about he's got this wine, he's going to share it, and he's selfish. So we don't need him around. This is you and I today.
I could see MT right now at home with his champagne and nuts, as he always says, and just kind of kicking back. But we'll get him tomorrow. And then, you know, we'll get him at the Lakers game tomorrow. BT, just real quick on the last two games. I mean, I don't know what your expectations were walking into these, the game against the Bucks and the game against the Clippers. But did you think that the Lakers would be walking out of there 2-0 and a really impressive 9-point win against the Clippers yesterday? I thought the Lakers in the second half just played some fantastic basketball.
You know, my friends were asking me what I thought about that. And, of course, my friends here in L.A. and in Pasadena are all Laker fans. Mm. And my response was, I think the Lakers will win both. Now, I didn't know. I didn't take any bets to Vegas mm-hmm. or to my bookie to make sure that was going to be the case. But I just kept hearing from some guys on the team how locked in they were. Mm. How serious they were about this weekend, playing Milwaukee, playing the Clippers, and they viewed it twofold. They viewed it as these are big games for us to prove to ourselves, to prove to the Bucks and to the Clippers that we can't win a title. And the second part was to have LeBron James show everyone that perhaps he is the MVP of the league and not Giannis. Hmm.
You know, BT, I think there's something to that. But before I do the LeBron Giannis part of it, but you know how when we talk about, and Michael Thompson always mentions it, some of that coach talk, right? Where, nope, this is just another game. These are not statement games. They might tell us that. But it sounds like, you know, your interaction with some of the players, they knew it was big time. They knew that, you know, these games can have some type of an effect or influence on the postseason when you do face potentially the Clippers or the Bucks down the road. It sounds as much as we were making a big deal from a fan perspective and a media perspective, the players made a big deal internally as well.
Yeah, they did. The word I would use with them that I kept throwing at them to see if they agreed, since they didn't want to say statement, I kept saying, are these two games significant games? And they were willing to say, okay, yes. Because the statement means that they're trying to prove something, I guess. And in their eyes, they were not trying to prove anything. But it was significant in that they wanted to show themselves again, show both teams that they were serious about playing those two games, they were serious about how they were going to approach the game and that they were going to put everything they had into it to give themselves a chance to win the game. And as it turned out, the Lakers won both games because they were very serious about putting their best product on the floor and playing their best basketball if they could do that.
BT, one thing I noticed in the game yesterday, and I'll just get your thoughts on this. I thought having Markieff Morris as an option, okay? Last time they played the Clippers, and one of the things that you know we hit on actually in the pregame show, we talked about how what's that five that the Clippers want to go with towards the end of games, and it's Montrezl Harrell and it's Marcus Morris, or if they want more offense, maybe it's Lou and Pat Beverly in the backcourt. The one position that you know I feel like the Lakers were missing was a guy like Markieff who can match up against a five. He can match up against a four, and I'm talking about a five like Montrezl Harrell.
Right.
Do you kind of see what I'm referring to here? Do you feel like having that player and that style of player on this Lakers team can be significantly different for Kuzma, for Dwight, for LeBron and AD? And did you feel or did you see some of that yesterday?
Absolutely. I mean, first thing I'll say is this. Before the game, I looked at Markieff and his brother Marcus, and I noticed that Markieff was taller. Even the Lakers assistant coaches were going, "Hey, Markieff, are you taller than your brother is?" He goes, "Yes, I am." When I asked him the question, he also flexed his muscles. "I'm taller and I'm stronger." So we fast forward to the game, and especially in that fourth quarter when AD was in foul trouble, who did Frank Vogel bring into the game? In and out, it was Markieff Morris because he knew he was strong enough, he was active enough, he was tough enough, and he played with enough of an edge to bang down low with Montrezl Harrell, to step out if he had to with some other people out there. You know, so he was involved in the game, and he showed his toughness by being that 6'10", 6'9", guy, 225 pounds, that could bang down low. But it could also switch on Kawhi Leonard and also at times perhaps pick up Paul George a little bit. But he was rebounding, playing great defense. He played better than his brother did. I think Marcus had 1 point, didn't make a shot. So the Lakers got the best Morris twin on their team playing the best basketball yesterday.
Brad Turner from the LA Times hopping on Lakers Talk. BT, you got a great article right now in the LA Times, and the focus is on Avery Bradley. What do you think yesterday meant for Avery Bradley, a player that you know has obviously he's trying to get healthy over these last couple of years, and here he finds himself in an opportunity with the Lakers where he played big-time minutes for the Lake Show, and I'm not saying that we're going to get 6 3-pointers from Avery Bradley on a night-in, night-out basis. I'm not saying he's going to put up 24 points, but there's another player that can do the small things, won't back down from anybody, that could be a key piece come postseason. What do you think of Avery Bradley? And maybe you could talk a little bit about your article.
You know, what was interesting about Avery was we first talking about him making those three-point shots, which he's not known to be some prolific three-point shooter. But when he said that after practices, late at night, he joins Quinn Cook and Danny Green and sometimes Rajon Rondo, and they go and shoot. They do these shooting drills to improve their three-point shooting so it allows AD and it allows LeBron to look for them at certain points in the game to have confidence that they can make their shots. So now the game starts, and all that hard work he's been putting into shooting drills, going in late at night after practice when he's tired, but working on his game. It came to fruition yesterday. He made, as you said, 6 3-pointers. We don't expect that to happen all the time, but it would now give the defense some pause to make them think he might make these shots. So he had this offensive output, but I still go back to his great defense. Early in the first quarter, he stole the ball from Pat Beverly, and he goes in for a layup, and he scores. And next thing you know, Avery just called for a technical foul.
Yep.
I've known Avery for about 4 years now. That's not his demeanor. And even he thought it was not a technical foul that should have been called on him, but it was. But that set a tone that he wasn't going to back down. It set the tone that he was going to pressure Pat Beverly all over the court, because Pat is a great defender. He's not a great ball handler. So that put pressure on the Clippers' backcourt to get the ball up court. When Pat went out, you saw where Lou Williams was now the guy bringing the ball up court. And he had a few times where he complained to the officials because he thought that Avery was being too aggressive. He was getting away with fouling. So that gets into the heads of the ball handlers, because Avery was aggressive. Avery was all over the backcourt, and that slows down the Clippers' offense a little bit more because you can't get into your sets as soon as you want to.
Yeah, BT, that's huge. You know, if the perception on the Lakers was, okay, the way the Clippers are going to beat the Lakers, or the way the Clippers are going to get through the West, just using that as an example, and I'm not going to crown the Lakers because they won one game, but
right.
if the perception was the Clippers are going to play bully type of basketball and the Lakers don't really have that type of answer, I think yesterday showed Lakers can play pretty much any way they want to. They want to play finesse game, they can play it. They want to play bully basketball, they can do it. They want to get to the free throw line and take 20 plus free throws between AD and LeBron, they can make it happen on that end as well. I think it showed kind of this versatility for the Lakers. If you thought the Lakers had a weakness where you can push them around, after the Markieff Morris signing, after the Lakers maybe getting pushed around in some previous games, I think that perception should change a little bit.
You know, I don't know if teams view them as being able to push them around because the Lakers have size and length and toughness. I think the thought was more, would they execute down the stretch? Would they continue to do all the right things? Because they did have a 15-point lead against the Clippers on Christmas Day. They lost that lead because of poor execution, because the Clippers did execute, because the Clippers played great defense. And it was the complete opposite. And you have LeBron James. I mean, no one's going to be out-physical him.
Mm-hmm.
AD is not a physical player, but he's a long, athletic player. As we said before, you have someone like Avery Bradley, who is tough on guards. So I just think the idea that the Lakers have the size, but more than anything else, they have LeBron James. Mm. That's a major difference. No one else has LeBron James except for the Lakers.
BT, final question. I know you're a busy man tonight. I know you got places to go and people to see, all right? Final question is this. This is how I felt going into the weekend. I thought if the Bucks beat the Lakers at Staples Center, the championship's going to run through the Milwaukee Bucks. I thought if the Clippers beat the Lakers yesterday, the championship was going to run through the Clippers. After seeing the Lakers beat both the Bucks and the Clippers, do you think the championship runs through the Los Angeles Lakers? What I mean by that is, if you got to pick one team right now that you feel like would be the favorite to win it all, do you think it's the Lakers?
Look, things can change tonight, tomorrow, but after this weekend, after seeing what the Lakers did to Milwaukee and to the Clippers, I agree with you. It now runs through the LA Lakers. They are the favorites to win the NBA championship. And if you're a Laker fan, you should be happy about that, because they proved that they are tough, they can fight and battle with any team in the league, and they can beat anyone in the league. And I think the Lakers are the favorites to win it all.
You at the game tomorrow, BT?
I'll be there.
Okay. What should we do, anything with Michael Thompson? I mean, is it kind of the same game plan? Anything I should, you know, warn him about or anything like that?
Well, I know what we could do. We could turn up his microphone. How about that?
That's a great idea. We'll do that.
Yeah.
All right. That's Brad Turner from the LA Times. BT, thanks for hopping on, all right?
Alan, thank you.
All right, he's one of my favorites to have on. Brad Turner, LA Times. Tomorrow he'll hop on with me and MT a little bit closer to tip-off, that pregame show against the Brooklyn Nets. Okay. Let's do this when we come back. Jared Dudley hopped on with Mason in Ireland. And I thought he had some interesting conversations about which is the harder team to beat, the Clippers or the Bucks. We'll play that. Also, Patrick Beverly running his mouth. Why is he running his mouth? What?
how can he possibly justify running his mouth after what LeBron James has done this year? We'll talk about that too. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk, 710 ESPN.